I said I was going to do this in 10 minutes, but I don't think anybody else did theirs in 10 minutes. So, hey, anyway, I'm going to talk to you about a series of visions, you know, that brought the Open Door Church from a little handful of people that decided there needed to be a contemporary church in Hawkin, Missouri, to reach a generation of people that weren't being reached by the more traditional churches. And from there to today, I just want to give you an overview of what God has done. What I really want to do is I just want to brag on Jesus for a little while to you. That's one of my favorite things to do. And so I just want to tell you about that. And also with that, I want to give honor to whom honor is due, because Jesus does lots of things, but he never does anything without using people. Are you aware of that? He always uses people. And so I just want to honor some people today as I brag on Jesus. I'm going to start this little talk with a verse of scripture out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And I'm sure that you've heard this before. Samuel wrote this, and it was a sad commentary on the days in which he lived. He wrote, "Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon." What a sad day. Very few messages from the Lord, and as a result, very few visions to get anything done for the Lord. And so I want to talk about that. This statement written by Samuel was indeed a sad, sad commentary on the generation in which he lived. And the same thing could be written about our generation. What a sad day in which we live. Eli was serving as a high priest, and his wicked sons were serving as priests under his leadership. And the priests had become so wicked as the spiritual leaders of the nation that their influence on the nation had drawn the vast majority of Israelis away from God and his standards of righteousness. Does that sound kind of familiar? And then as the result, the Israelis were not expecting God to speak to them, and they weren't even interested in what he might have to say if he did speak. That sounds like contemporary America to me. And then as a result of the spiritual decline of the nation, God had stopped speaking to them. It was the period of time when God seldom offered his people messages, and as a result, they didn't have visions through the prophets. Samuel described that period in Israel's history when he wrote this text. In those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. And here's what I can see from that. When I think about messages and visions, when the people of a nation turn their hearts away from God, he eventually stops speaking to them through his appointed spokesman, whether the prophets of the Old Testament or the pastors of the New Testament. And when God's people stop receiving messages from him, they eventually stop receiving visions as well. They don't know what it is that God wants to accomplish through them. There is no vision. God-given visions, you see, are directly related to his messages. And that fact is made very clear by Samuel's description of those times in which he lived. In those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. And what was the result? Visions were quite uncommon. I don't mean to be critical, but there are churches all over the country that their vision doesn't extend beyond trying to get enough people at church to keep the lights on. What a sad vision. Just keep the doors open. What a sad vision. I'll get carnal if I'm not careful, so you pray for me. Unfortunately, we too are living in a day when the vast majority of pastors are failing to present to God's people with clear, uncompromised passion messages from God. They are failing to unapologetically preach the word. And the significance of the consistent preaching of God's word is emphasized in Scripture by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to his young disciple Timothy. Of all the things that he wanted to say to Timothy at a real difficult time in Timothy's life, this is what he wrote to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. You know what that means? It doesn't matter whether people want to hear it or not. You preach it anyway. Preach the word whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct. I have trouble with that. Patiently. I'm ADD. There's no doubt about it. And I have trouble with that. Rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. I think the real key to giving a church a message from the Lord, and then that message resulting in a vision, is not just a lot of fluff. It's not just a lot of 3 points in a poem. It's not just a lot of alliteration and all the stuff that people are doing today and calling it preaching. I want you to understand it's the uncompromised declaration of this is what God's word says and this is what it means. God didn't stutter when he said it. This is exactly what it meant. It's good teaching. And so I want to spend the next few minutes giving you some of the visions that have resulted from just simple preaching of God's word here at the Open Door Church. And as I said, I want to give honor to whom honor is due by telling you about this series of visions that God gave to basically three men. And Paul wrote this about the importance of giving honor. It's in Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their dues. In other words, give to everybody what they deserve in a positive sense. He said, give tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and then honor to whom honor. So I want to honor some fellas today. In April of 2006, God began to form a vision in the heart of Kevin True, and I want to honor him today, along with about 15 other people. These folks were worshiping at the South Canaan General Baptist Church, and God began to stir in the heart of Kevin a vision to start a contemporary church in Hawkeye, Missouri, designed to reach a generation of youth and young adults who weren't being reached by the existing churches. And as a result, the Open Door Church was started on June 7th, 2007, roughly 9 years ago. We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the willingness of those people to pursue that vision until it became a reality. I want you to understand that. God can give the vision, but until we pursue the vision through to it becoming a reality, nothing happens. And so you got to understand that those people pursued the vision until it happened, and I honor them for that. And then when I became the pastor of the Open Door Church on January the 30th of 2010, I just started preaching messages from God's Word. I've been doing that since I was 17 years old. My kids say, Dad, you could get an honest job if you knew how to do anything else. But I really don't know that much else to do other than just preach the Word of God. And so, you know, I just began to emphasize His will for His church to be outward focused rather than inward focused. And I have to tell you, some of these folks that have been here for this ride for those 6 years or so that I've been here, it was a real strain in the beginning. Would some of you wave and say, you're right, Pastor, and it was a strain this morning. It's still been a strain, you know, but it's happened. It was just a change in focus toward being outward focused. And as a result of that new direction of being outward focused, I want to honor another man. God used this guy named Jason Smith to give our elders this vision. I wish all of you knew Jason Smith. He is so much like his dad, who is here today too and a member of our church. It is scary. And there's a third generation coming on fast, and that's even scarier. You know, I mean, I'm telling you that God gave Jason this vision that he shared with our elders, the vision of reaching out to our community by launching what is today the Open Door Church's food pantry and clothes closet ministries. Jason said something like this during an elders ministry. He said, we need to find a way to reach outside the walls of our church and impact our community. And so after some discussion, we decided that a practical way we could do that was to launch the food pantry and clothes closet ministries. And as a result, on August the 4th of 2012, those ministries were open to the public for the very first time. And since that day, 57 people have prayed to receive God's incredible gift of eternal life from those ministries. And I just have to say to Jason, that's 57 people in heaven, Jason, that wouldn't maybe be going that way if it weren't for the vision that God gave him and he shared with us. And then this church was willing to follow through with that. And you know, sometimes people squirm a little bit because we spend a lot of money buying food and giving it away. But I want you to understand something. 57 people are going to heaven because of that. And that's what it's supposed to be all about. And so it's just a vision. And that was just another step toward bringing us to where we are today. And I'm so glad that God gave that vision, because without it, those people might have perished. Wise King Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And then about 9 months later, it was May the 10th, 2013, God used Jason again. You know, if he ain't got much to work with, I mean, what can you say? He used him again. So God used Jason again to give our elders the vision of launching another outreach ministry. And that ministry is what we know today as Freedom House. You see, at an elders meeting, Jason said something like this, and I'm not quoting, but the gist of it's here. He said, we need to try to do something so big that when people see it, they'll conclude that we couldn't have done it. God must have done it. What a great philosophy. If your dream is only as big as something you can do, your dream is way too small. It needs to be bigger than you could possibly do. Then God gets the credit for it. And as the discussion progressed, it became apparent to the elders that the big thing that we needed to try to do was to use the house that at that time we called the Big House to open a ministry dedicated to evangelizing and discipling men and women who were enslaved by drugs and alcohol. We said this. We said, you know, Jesus reached out to the people that were the most vulnerable and the devil was destroying to the greatest degree in his culture. You know, he reached out to the tax collectors and the prostitutes and, you know, those folks that were at the very lowest ebb of the social strata of his day. And we need to be reaching out to those people. So who are those people today? And it was like, there's no question about it. It's the addicts and the alcoholics. Those are the folks that the devil is destroying today in our culture. Those are the folks that are the tax collectors and prostitutes of our day. And so we need to be reaching out to them. And so a little over 2 months later, on July the 21st, 2013, we decided to partner with Mission Teens as a strategic step toward transforming that vision into a reality. And the leaders of Mission Teens agreed to enter into this ministry partnership with our church and open their 17th facility. And we named this ministry center Freedom House because of a statement made by Jesus to some Jewish Christians. It's recorded in John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's our theme verse. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's why at the Mission Teens program and here at Freedom House, that's why they spend about 5.5 hours a day in the Word in one fashion or another, because the Word is the Word of truth, and it's only truth that'll set people free. It's not our programs, and it's not our earnestness, and it's not our intelligence, and it's not our talent, and it's not all of that. It's simply the truth of the Word of God that sets people free. That's what Jesus said. Our elders realized that in order to open this facility to minister to addicts and alcoholics, we would need to construct a building to house our church's ministry and children's ministry and our food pantry and our clothes closet. So we began making plans for a new building. You see, the children's ministry and the food pantry and the clothes closet was in that house. And I'm telling you, it was a circus over there trying to do all of that in that house. Some of you remember that. And so we knew that we had to build a building. And at that point, God gave me a little vision. I love it when God gives other people the vision first and then gives me one a little later, and only could give me one because they already had one, you know? And so he gave me this little vision about this building, and the vision was constructing a debt-free building. And I just began to beat the drum for that. Yep, we need to do this, but we're not going any further in debt. We're way too far in debt as it is, and so we're not going to go in debt any further. It's going to be a debt-free building. I reasoned like this. If God provides the resources up front to accomplish all of this, it'll be obvious to everyone that it is indeed His will. And you know, I learned this a long time ago reading books, autobiographies of guys like George Mueller and Hudson Taylor. You know what I learned from them? God always pays for what He orders. You know? And He pays for it up front. Now I know, you know, we make mistakes and we go in debt, and I know that God blesses and honors and, you know, in spite of us most of the time. Would you agree with that? I'm so glad that God blesses in spite of me instead of because of me. Oh man, it wouldn't be much. So I had no idea how God would provide the funding, but I was sure that He would, and He kept reminding me that both the tabernacle and the temple, the two building projects that are outlined for us in Scripture, were both constructed with resources provided by God. Up front. No debt. Both of them were that way. I don't think God was just wasting His time when He put those stories in there. I think there's lessons to be learned from that. So, no debt was incurred in either of those building programs. And then we said, if God wants it, God will do it. And while we were still in the planning stages for the new building, God used another one of our men, David McCormick, to give our elders the vision of securing the ownership of a building in Hockham that was being vacated by the First Baptist Church. David envisioned housing our food pantry and our clothes closet ministries in that building. That would mean that we didn't have to build quite so big a building over here if we could do that. And so David and Jason contacted the leaders of the First Baptist Church, and through a series of events that only God could have orchestrated over the next several weeks, the congregation of the First Baptist Church generously donated their facility to the Open Door Church. It's a big church building and a parsonage, and we rent out the parsonage, and it pays the utilities and the insurance on the other building. And so today we own that building. On September the 9th, 2014, we assumed ownership of that building, which meant that our new building would only have to house our children's ministry. And today, that First Baptist Church facility houses our food pantry and our clothes closet ministries, and only God could have orchestrated that, because, you know, kind of crossing denominational lines and crossing age, you know, generation gaps and all that stuff. And a group of really senior saints decided to give a group of kind of young, reckless people in this new church their property. I almost fainted when it actually happened. That's how little faith I have, you know. But God did that. God worked all that out. And then a few months passed, and the Mako Corporation contacted Kevin True, with an offer to either trade some of our land here or maybe purchase some land from us. And God began to stir Kevin's heart, and God soon used Kevin to give our elders another vision. The vision of using the sale of some of our excess acreage to fund a major portion of the construction of this new building. And the deal was made, and Kevin handled the legal paperwork, and then in March 2015, through the sale of 7.5 acres of land, God provided $30,000 for our new building. The Moark Mission Board that I recognized earlier, they donated $8,000 total toward that project. And then the Blue Cane Church, and some of those folks are here today, and I'm so glad they're here, they donated $1,000 toward the construction of this building, and also gave about $745 to Freedom House to help with their operating expenses, and I honor them for that. And then the members of this church, and listen, we're not a rich church, but the members of this church, since the beginning of the vision of this project, the members of this church have contributed $58,860 out of their own pockets to make this a reality. And as a result, on Wednesday evening, February the 10th of 2016, our children's ministry moved into this new 3,200 square foot debt-free building at a cost of $97,860. Only God could do that in the boot heel of Missouri. So we are here today to celebrate all that God has done through this series of visions to make the ministry of Freedom House a reality. And I am personally thrilled that messages are not rare and visions are not uncommon at the Open Door Church in Hawkin, Missouri. I am thrilled about that. Now here's a conclusion. You can breathe deeply now, because that means we're almost done. I know that's your favorite word in the whole sermon, conclusion. I want to conclude by sharing with you my personal pastoral vision for Freedom House. It's made up of three basic components. First one is that I envision clearly sharing the good news with every resident of Freedom House so they can believe it and receive the incredible gift of eternal life. I'll do that as I teach classes over there, and I'll do that on Sunday mornings as I preach to the residents. Jesus said this. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Only difference between that and what we're doing at Freedom House, instead of us going to them, we're bringing them to us, and we'll just preach to them the good news that God loves them and Jesus saved them if they'll only believe in Him. And then I envision helping Gary and Susan recruit high-quality Bible teachers who can effectively disciple every resident of Freedom House, because Jesus said, go and make disciples. It's not enough to just get them saved. It's not enough just to make converts. He wants disciples of all nations. And we have some of those teachers here. If you've been recruited and you're going to teach at Freedom House, would you stand up and let us honor you? Would you just kind of, you guys stand up? I know some of you are here. I see you. You're going to teach or preach at Freedom House. Mark, you're here. Okay. So these guys are here, and there are several more. There's Barbie over there. There are several more that are going to be doing that. And then the third thing is that I envision creating an environment of worship at Freedom House where every resident is encouraged to worship in spirit and in truth. We got a little taste of that over the last few days when they had their worship services. And Jesus said this in John 4:24, God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is simply expressing from your heart the worth of God. It's exactly what it is. It's telling him how good he is, how valuable he is, how awesome he is, how incredible he is. It's expressing from your heart his worth. And when you do that, God shows up because the scripture says that he inhabits the praise, the worship of his people. Thank you for letting me rattle on like this. It has been a real joy, a real privilege to be here. And we're going to close out our service.